This is what renting furniture with Feather looks like. Pieces that fit your style and your space. And cost less than your monthly phone bill. Oh, and did we mention delivery and assembly included? Feather. Start renting at livefeather.com.
Hello and welcome to this week's Wolves Fancast. Richard Hobbs here. Oh, life's better when Wolves win, isn't it? Joining me on today's pod, just after the recording, just after the win against Crystal Palace, we've got Stu.
Ooga.
We've got Luke.
Hey, Dean, you're right.
I'm doing okay, actually, Luke. A peep behind the curtain. I've had about 3 technical difficulties getting this pod done, and I'm almost at breaking point at this level. So if something crashes now, I will sack in this pod if it just kind of cuts halfway through, which we've never done on a podcast before. We've also got Dan with me.
Hello, everyone. Happy Friday.
And we've also got a special guest on today. We've got Kim Smith. Kim, how are you?
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
We'll get right into the Crystal Palace game. But first, the Wolves game was the only fixture on Friday night, but it was still the pay-per-view Sky BT package as part of the whole Project Restart side of things. So what Kim set up was a Just Giving page to raise money for a local food bank so that fans could almost protest the pay-per-view package, but also making sure that that money was going to a just cause in the region. So, Kim, what kind of, I guess, motivated you and what kind of gave you kind of the idea to start the project?
So it came initially from seeing on Twitter Newcastle had started a campaign which was pretty early in the early stages. And I thought, well, I haven't seen a Wolves one on the Twitter at the moment, so why not just start it and see where we go. So initially I set a target of £1,000 and decided that we should contact the Well Wolverhampton and donate all funds to that, and they agreed that they would be more than happy to help me set up the campaign. So I set up the campaign, and sort of 10 days later we're on 9.5k. So yeah, it's been quite unbelievable, especially today. You know, we've raised sort of more than 2k in a day. I'm in shock, to be honest.
No, I think it's sort of an incredible testament to it all, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm just so pleased that a lot of Wolves fans have kind of engaged with the campaign, shared a lot of tweets, Facebook posts, and just got the message out there, really. You know, I don't really have the Twitter reach to get to, you know, thousands of Wolves fans, but just with everyone's help, we've just managed to really get the message out there. Lots of journalists plugging it, Radio WM, Express and Star. So, yeah, it's been really, really, really good.
No, I think sort of with everything kind of going on at the moment and, you know, the lobbying that Marcus Rashford's been doing, it's something that seems to definitely be resonating with a lot of people at the moment. And, you know, it's great to see Wolves fans sort of backing it in numbers. I say sort of nearly, you know, £10,000 raised is a fantastic achievement in a couple of weeks. And, you know, I guess it makes almost a lovely segue into the fact that, you know, it's a shame that a number of fans have probably missed out on watching the game today. So I said at the start, Wolves ran out 2-0 winners against Crystal Palace in probably what was, at least in the first half, our most complete performance of the season. It started with a debut goal from Rayan 8 Nouri. I've got that pronunciation right. Followed up with a second goal of the season from Daniel Podence. And it was almost a bit classic Nuno from when we were in the Championship, but we ended up sort of managing out the second half of the game to be 2-0 winners. I'll pass over to Stu first. So, Stu, overall thoughts on the game? What would you think when you first saw the lineup?
Excitement, more than anything else. I mean, I was one of the unfortunate ones who had to kind of talk about Newcastle last week and what an absolute shit show that was. And so whatever happened, happened. And all week I've been down on Wolves. I wasn't looking forward to it until that lineup. And I thought, wow. I mean, maybe it was forced on because when we saw Marcel was injured beforehand, which it was strange that that was just put out on his Instagram before the lineup came out. Maybe it was a kind of, This is the reason, take a bit of pressure off the kid. But we all, how many of us watched that game against PSG where they got dicked 6-0, but he was probably their best player on the pitch? And I thought, well, okay, we've got a left back that's kind of the equivalent of Semedo on the right, especially going forward. And then,
yeah,
the
game, I mean,
like I say, then the game started, and within minutes, you could see how good he was.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he seems to just be the, dare I say, almost the complete package. He was like Vinagre, but with end product. The way he could sort of just, you know, his technique was flawless. I now have a cat trying to join us for a podcast. Luke, what did you think of RAN?
I thought he was fantastic. I mean, considering how old is he, 18 years of age?
19.
His first game in the Premier League, handled it superbly. I mean, with all due respect to Crystal Palace, that actually wasn't too bad going forward. So even though the game felt comfortable, he still had a lot to do. And he did it well. He looks comfortable on the ball. He knows his position. He knows his role. Technically, looks very good. I thought all over the pitch today, though, I did think we looked technically better than Crystal Palace. I thought we looked fitter, we looked sharper, we looked more determined. So again, I think whilst Al-Nouri played well on his debut, I think it was an absolutely fantastic team performance today. And 8 or 9 players, you'd probably rate 8+. I thought that there's more than a handful that was fantastic tonight.
Yeah, I think sort of definitely for that first, well, throughout the first half, they played with a lot more tempo and almost the things that you can't necessarily judge in terms of stats, you know, and how quickly they're moving the ball and how they were creating space for one another. I mean,
if I can just book him, I think
go.
We picked up on the tempo first half against Leeds, and it was slow.
Yeah.
Any second balls, we wasn't pressing very high up the pitch. Today, we saw the complete opposite. And that's got to be one of the best first half performances I've seen from Wolves in a good couple of years. We just looked like a different team when we play that way. And it was a fantastic half of football to watch from both teams. Because, I mean, Palace look half decent. I mean, the goal that they had disallowed, fantastic build-up play. It was a brilliant game of football to watch when we've watched Wolves before and we control the game to be boring.
Yeah.
And it was completely different. And honestly, I really, really enjoyed tonight's game. Fantastic. I would pay £15 for it, like, but it was wonderful.
No, I think it's almost the performance we've been crying out for. That, you know, that we know we have got those players and to really make a difference. And Dan, you'll appreciate this. That a fellow short king in Daniel Podence again got on the score list, but also I thought his all round play. I thought, you know, he had that, you know, shot before he scored where he sort of just cut inside on his right foot and just tried to bend one round the keeper. And we've not been doing well at creating chances this season, and he seems to be someone who's not afraid to have a shot.
I mean, I did put out the tweet, Daniel, six on legs, Podence during the match, because at the moment he is just a joy to watch. he reminds me of me in my prime years. Just his low centre of gravity, the way he can use both feet. He's always direct. He can find a pass. And I think for the first time this season, we've had four wide players who are direct and want to create chances instead of having, you know, I can't knock the blow. Romain Saïss, he's been a makeshift wing back the last few games, but it just ruins our philosophy of how we try and play. Cody was moving the ball quickly, wide, using those diagonals well today. I think we're all close to running out of superlatives for Ryan Aitnori. I thought he looked mature beyond his years tonight. I said he was a regen Vicente Lizarazu. He was that short on the ball. And I think he could be a future captain of France.
I mean, I was going to say, it almost seems like an understatement for you, Dan. But Kim, I was going to say, I won't ask you whether you saw the game or not, so we don't end up having to sort of hire any fan cast lawyers.
No, I did. I actually went out to watch the game, supported my local bar.
Fantastic.
Because bars don't actually have to pay. They get theirs for free. So I supported my local bar, watched the whole game. Great picture, and I think the wing backs actually made the difference in comparison to Newcastle. The tempo was faster. I was actually entertained for the first 45 minutes. I mean, in comparison to the Newcastle game where it was slow and it was like literally nothing happened, we actually created actual chances. We weren't just dancing around the box like we were against Newcastle. And I agree with all the comments, like the new left back. I'm not going to try and pronounce his name. He was probably the difference. And it's scary to think that one player, I think, would make the difference in comparison to the Newcastle game, but I think he did. I think that he enabled both Semedo and Aitnori to sort of get forward. And I think Palace almost just didn't know how to handle them. And then that meant that Neto and Pedence were sort of could run riot. And yeah, I think other than that, I suppose Neves was probably the standout player, really sort of dictating the tempo, I would say, and getting the ball out to the wing backs. So overall, I think, yeah, as you guys said, couldn't ask for more for a first half performance, especially from Wolves, because we're definitely not used to seeing that good a performance in the first half. And then with the two goals as well. So, yeah, really, really pleased.
I mean, you had that situation as well with Cody was pinging balls out to the right, then yeah. Neves was pinging balls out to the left. And we haven't had that for months on end. Even when Johnny was fit, that had kind of like died down a bit.
We tried to, but it was all too slow.
Yeah.
And Saïss never looked sort of comfortable playing left back. And although he did a job against Leeds, but we were on the back foot for the whole time. So I think this was definitely the game to bring the new left back in. And I think, yeah, to be honest, I think that's what made the difference. Although, to be fair, the whole team played well, I thought.
Yeah, it felt like...
I'm sorry, can I make just a quick disagreement to that? Ryan Aitnori should have started the Newcastle game, and it was ridiculous that he wasn't. When Newcastle was so decimated of a squad, and you look back again, come the end of the season, if we haven't broken the top six and we've lost it by 2 points again like last season, you'll look at that game and that'll be a reason why we didn't get top six.
Positivity's turned a bit, hasn't it? But
right, and another thing, teams that play 4-4-2 against Wolves will get punished by the way that we play with our wing-backs and high wide men. You can't play four in midfield against Wolves because we'll outpass you in the centre and get our wide men into play, which then creates chances to get the extra man in midfield into the box with Raul. Crystal Palace, as good as we were in that first half, they played into our hands with their formation and lack of wide men who are willing to do the tracking back that's required to stifle our wing backs.
Yeah, but Dan, if you go back 5 days, they would have done their job. Because we had no width and we had no movement, and I think that was the difference. And Aitnori, like Kim said, Aitnori was so much of a difference because the amount of movement that kid was—he was everywhere. He was popping up here, up there, and everywhere. He was giving up options, I mean, he was doing it, then everyone was copying him. And you think, it's just, it is amazing that one player can make such a difference, like Kim said, that he was doing it, then Semedo was doing it on the other side, and even Neves was dropping off, receiving a pass, and then pinging it wide. He wasn't doing that last week. And so I think if he wasn't there, even if Marcel was playing, I don't think the tempo would have been as good as it was tonight, because he kind of, it's mad that he's a 19-year-old kid who's played 20 games last season, who's come in and transformed the team so much in the space of half an hour in that first half. His pace, and so even his pace, it's just his enthusiasm more than anything else. It was infectious and it rubbed off on everyone else.
You could see, he always wanted to be involved, especially with pressing. He didn't allow anyone any time on the ball. And like you said, it was infectious, because then Neves would press just as quick. Then Dendonka was pressing just as quick. And it changed the tempo of the whole thing. I mean, whether that's actually come from the young left-back or Nuno said, we start with a higher tempo today, I suppose we'll never know. But he did set the tone in that sense.
I think it's a bit of both. And I had a quick chat with the guys at Anfield Rap yesterday about Wolves, and said, we kind of miss Johnny, not necessarily because of how quick he is, but how he can sort of pass and move and open up the play. And it almost felt like REM was doing that for us today. But he had that speed and impetus, which Vinagre has, but has never sort of properly utilised. And, you know, it's been probably the most frustrating thing watching his development slow down, that he's not really maximised it. But you can just see from this lad that he knows what he's doing with the ball at his feet, but he's also got it between the ears as well, and he knows where he needs to be to create that space. And you say it almost feels like it's a bit of a knock-on effect. So that creates space for Neves. If that gives him an extra half an yard, that means he can spread out to Semedo, who then gets the extra space. And, you know, that space breeds confidence in our players more than anything else. And, you know, we've been crying out for Semedo to try and break through those lines more consistently, and he did that as well. You know, so I think definitely first half, you know, the wing backs clicked, the forward line clicked, you know, for the second goal for Potences, you know, all three of them were involved in terms of making movement. And Neto, you know, were a really great cross right across the 6-yard box. You know, if it wasn't going to be Jimenez, it's going to be Potence on the, on the far post. And it's what you want from a front three, isn't it? You know, with wide player crossing it in and having your two others there and ready to pounce on it.
Yeah, I mean, again, were you saying like that? That's the first time we've had that many players in the box in probably about 10 months. And there was times as well when Jimenez was on the left wing and Neto was through the middle. That would never have happened. And we said that Nuno's so stubborn and rigid with formations, and you stay and you do your jobs and you don't move. They moved tonight. I think that's what tore Palace apart. I don't think they expected it.
It just felt like everyone was sort of stretching their neck more to get in the box, I think, compared to the Newcastle game, where we were literally playing around the box. No one was making sort of any movements, in my opinion. And yeah, today it just felt like we were given that extra sort of 10% to really bust our net to get in the box and sort of create those proper clear-cut chances.
Yeah, like that, like the Dendonka one in the second half, and we'll come to in a bit. But how much of the pitch he just ate up in just his weird running style, which is still not normal. It's like a chicken on acid, and he should have buried that chance. But the fact that he got in the box, Martino and Neves wouldn't have done that. I mean, we've said over and over again on here that it's Dendonka plus one, and for now we've kind of seen it, that the potential he's had all along.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think, in my opinion, you know, Wolves are at least the seventh best team in this division. At least. You know, how many of the teams in the, you know, the 12 places below, 13 places below, do you actually fear really punishing us if we commit that extra player forward or those extra two players forward? Because don't get me wrong, Palace have got a couple of really good players, and on a different day they might have capitalised, and you know, we'll talk about a couple of the things that happened shortly. But you know, there's no reason why we can't have, you know, three forwards, you know, in the box, but also having at least one fullback as well, one wing back, maybe even both of them, and really kind of pegging teams back. And, you know, I was going to say, funnily enough, for once, VAR was on our side. In pain, so what, you know, a lot of players I thought put in a really good performance. One player who I don't think was quite at the races today was Big Willie Bolly, who, if it wasn't for Jeffrey Schlupp being, you know, a leg offside, would have been given away a penalty. Dan, what did you think of Bolly tonight?
I think his performance tonight has been pretty much Bolly's level for a good few months now, to be honest. He hasn't looked his assured self. I don't know whether the fact that he's not in that left centre-back position anymore, he just finds himself maybe a bit more open to being attacked at, or maybe he's just, his concentration levels just aren't there like they should be. He hasn't looked assured for a good while. At one time, I would have said he was one of the sort of top 10 best centre-backs in the world for what he could do, bringing the ball out and actually shielding strikers away from the ball. But I thought he's looked nervous and a bit reckless at times in the last few months. It'll come good again, but his place isn't as solid as I once thought.
I think if anyone's getting dropped from defence at the minute, it's Bolly.
Yeah.
Max. It almost didn't seem out of place, did he? Just played and did well, got another kind of clean sheet, another good performance from him as well.
He's just the perfect man. I bet you he can sing as well. I bet you he's got the voice of an angel, I'm telling you.
Do you reckon he can spit some bars?
No, I reckon he's one of them soothing a cappella acoustic singers.
Like who? Okay. Well, give us a bar.
I don't know who can sing. Honestly, I bet you. He lived in a 7-bed, 5-bathroom house in the middle of Middlesex or something. Probably went to a private school where you have to pay about 12 grand a term. Never had a detention in his life. I bet he's been chiseled by God himself. Perfect body. He's probably smells amazing every minute of every day. And he can sing.
So you're saying that Max Kilman is really the footballing Michael Ball?
Yeah, he's a footballing Michael Ball. Wasn't there a footballer called Michael Ball?
Yeah, Sunderland.
I was going to say, wasn't he a left back?
Yeah.
Max Kilman is the next James Bond.
Yeah, he could play James Bond.
Is that because he kills men? I'm assuming that's just an audio lag is why the laughter was delayed. It's fine. So, I mean, on to the second half, and it was almost a bit of a subdued affair in many ways. So Wolves had the lead, and it was almost just making sure they could see the game out. They started a few chances. As you mentioned, sort of Dendonga got forward. Jimenez had a couple of chances as well. And I guess sort of the main sort of incident from the second half was the sending off, because it felt like it took forever to sort of come through. And when Martino was kind of getting treatment for his injury, I was like, oh, it was a late challenge. And it's almost one of those, the more you saw it, the more you realised actually it was a really dangerous late challenge.
Yeah. Me being what you've all termed as VAR nonce in the group chat.
You can just remove the VAR, Stuart, it's all right.
there's many things we call you.
It was one of them where I don't think I've seen that before, where it quite clearly won the ball, which doesn't matter, obviously. But the only reason he touched Martino was because his foot slipped over the top of the ball. Well, he came up from the other side of the ball. It wasn't a bad challenge to start with, and it was more accidental, but rules are rules, I suppose. And I said this to Andy that earlier on, that I thought if there was fans there, that would have been done way quicker. I think he was just taking his time, because why not? Why wouldn't you? I mean, he even kind of strolled off the pitch when he did the kind of... He didn't do the TV symbol properly, did he? He was like, nah. Like, oh, okay, I'll have a stroll
one
off the
thing
pitch.
I I was going to say, one thing I did find enjoyable when Mihajlovic got sent off is because they obviously have this COVID protocol, the away team don't come out the tunnel, do they? And there was a split second where it's like, well, where do I go? So we ended up sort of going into the stands. And like, Palmer was like, but when you bump into the fans, where they, it's like, oh, no, nobody's there. Like, it ended up sort of, you know, it must have ended up sort of in sort of the Billy Wright just by the executive boxes. I was like,
oh. I hope that they continue that when fans are back.
Yeah.
Imagine all them kids in the Billy Wright family enclosure giving it loads. To an opposition player who's just been sent off. Be amazing. I don't know, Everton, for example, just seeing like Phil Walcott fly kick a child in the face. He's been giving him loads as he's been sent off.
That's what
we watch football for. Don't pretend that we watch it for the goals or whatever. We watch it for the controversy. And that would be, everyone would love that.
It would, because Theo Walcott at Southampton, which would be even more incredible.
Oh, God, yeah. That shows how much I know about football.
You see it for a controversy, Luke. It's fine, it's fine. I guess on the whole, it was just what the doctor ordered. It was a good first half performance. It got fans off their seats. And we kind of rode out the second half relatively comfortable by the end of it. I guess sort of to round up, who would everyone give their man of the match to? We'll start with Luke.
I want to give it to Alton Ait Nouri on his debut. Young lad, got his goal, played well.
Yeah. Stu, same or?
Easy, really. I mean, he was superb. He changed everything. Ryan Ait Nouri.
Well, that's two different pronunciations so far. Dan, how about you?
I'm just going to be awkward like normal. And I'm going to give it to Pedro Neto. I thought he was electric this evening. Constant threat. Should have had more than one assist. Obviously got the assist for Podens. I thought Den Donker should have buried the chance that he put in. He was having an absolutely amazing ball that Neto put in for Den Donker in the second half. And I don't care if Jota scores again this weekend for Liverpool. This kid is the future. Vote Pedro Neto.
Kim, how about yourself?
Well, for me, it's between Neves and El Nouri. I think Neves really showed off what he's all about today. I think he really sort of run the game almost, dictated the tempo, but I would probably give it to El Nouri just because of the sort of impact that he'd had in comparison to how we were the Newcastle game. I think he really lifted the team. So, yeah, El Nouri for me.
Do you think that Neves is back to his best now he's grown his hair again?
Yes, I have a theory about that. I will touch on the point in Twitter corner though, because someone's asked, I can't remember who it was, but do we think he's growing it into a ponytail? I just think he's just going to grow it rugged and long and wild, and he tends to play better when his hair is longer.
I don't feel like he's ever
going to
cut it. I've just got that feeling. I feel like
it'll
just be
until he scores.
Yeah, God. I was going to say, I don't know if it was in our group chat or something I saw on Twitter. Someone has a theory he's not going to cut his hair until he scores. Which I kind of problem is it's like you always get the best of both worlds. That will kind of go through a stage of, you know, we all had it during lockdown. Well, some of us did. I know Dan and Stu didn't. But, you know, where we have the opportunity to have our hair slightly longer. And, you know, he's getting to live that right now and experience that wonderful journey. But you also know at the end of it, if it's a Neves goal, it's going to be a blinder. So, if it does end, it's going to end in a nice way.
And he's going to end up looking like Jon Snow at that point as well. So, everyone's a winner.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we'll preview the Leicester game and we'll go through Twitter Corner just after this. Hi, Richard here. Before you go back to hearing us dissect the latest Wolves news, some really shoehorn Simpsons references, a bit of 90s film action, of course, a bit of wrestling, I just want to do a quick shout out for our sponsors, Pixel Yeti Media. Now, they've done a fantastic job on the Wolves Fancast website, wolvesfancast.com. Please go check it out.
But they're not just web designers. They're a creative agency that cover all your design needs, from websites, brochures and signage to marketing, logo design and branding. There's basically nothing they can't do marketing-wise. So make sure you check them out at pixelyetimedia.com, and I'll let you get back to enjoying the show. Welcome back. So next Sunday, Wolves will be playing Leicester City at 2 o'clock. I think it's going to be a really interesting game, because I have this thing with Leicester City that I know that there seems to be a perception, particularly from the media, that they're better than they are. And I'm usually sorry it's fairly balanced, but I don't think that they're any better than Wolves. I didn't think it last season. And genuinely, I think if you asked most pundits, they'd probably argue that Leicester are better than Wolves or even bigger than Wolves. And I'm just not buying it. Even this season, they had a couple of good wins at the start of the season. But I think, you know, on paper and going toe-to-toe, I think Wolves have the, you know, the better and stronger team. That's probably about as forefront a statement of thing I've ever said on this podcast, and probably not what our host should be saying. So apologies to our former leader on that. But guys, what do we think? I was going to say, what do we think of what do we think of Leicester?
Next, come on. Okay.
I think the only sort of player that we're missing to really push our team on is, like I've said before, James Maddison or Jack Grealish type in midfield. Jamie Vardy could be in the same sort of goal tally what Jimenez is going to end up with, but I think that attacking number 10 is the only thing that we're missing, and James Maddison is that link between the two. But overall, I think we've got a better squad. I think we'll go further than them this season. I think they'll struggle in Europe come the end of the season, and we'll finish above them by about 9 points.
You reckon?
Yeah. Vardy's going to get back on the WKD soon, and then they'll start struggling.
I mean, I was never convinced with them last season either, and VAR saved them. Well, it didn't save them, because VAR is the truth. Let's just put it there. Now they're flat to deceive, and that run they had at the end of last season, where they creeped over the line to achieving something out of when they should have done a lot better with the start that they had. They're just... And it's because it's a bit of Brendy Rodgers and it's another media darling, ain't that's more than and the thing from a few years ago, obviously, when they deservedly won the league, which is fair play, obviously. But no, I think they're more of a... You look at that team and, like Dan said, apart from Maddison, you wouldn't really say anyone else would get in our squad. On our day, like the first half hour this today, whenever you listen to this, that first half hour, none of their players other than Maddison would fit in that the way that we played today.
Maddison wouldn't fit in how we played today.
That's what I'm saying. But the way that we play,
yeah,
apart from Maddison, you could substitute Dendonga for Maddison and play slightly different, but see, he's a bit more dynamic. But you look at all the Tielemans wouldn't work, really.
Tielemans would be an absolutely fantastic addition for us.
Tielemans went for 40 million. Is he really paid that off?
Oh, yeah. Come on. Nobody can pay attention to transfer fees anymore.
I was going to say, let's not start, because I can feel us going down Fabio Silva rabbit hole.
Absolutely fantastic. I look at Leicester and I put them in the exact same category as us. Sort of 6th, 7th, 8th, but they've got the potential to ruffle feathers and upset the big boys like we have. And do you know what? I haven't got any particular soft spot for Leicester. I mean, they're a bit of a nothing club while I was growing up. But I'd love it if they, along with us, broke into the top four this season. Because with the way it's going, it's possible. Imagine the top four of, say, Liverpool, us, Leicester, Man City. Get rid of Man U, Arsenal, Tottenham, Chelsea, fuck all them off. You know, like Leicester, and I think Leicester actually play good football, quite free-flowing, attacking, attack-minded, get goals, and then decent at the back as well. I think it should be a good game to watch, to be fair, if we play with the tempo we started with today, because Leicester won't fucking match us, it'll be a really entertaining game to watch.
And that's
money on 0-0.
That's the issue there. That it's if which Wolves turn up, yeah. And if the Wolves that we've seen that have proved themselves on today, Friday, in this game tonight, when we're more than a match for anyone, and we've shown that in the last 2.5 years in the Premier League that we're more than a match for anyone.
I think Leicester fans will probably say the same, because Arsenal away 1-0, beat Man City 5-2, but then didn't they lose 3-0 to West Ham, similar to us? Lost to Villa 1-0 at home. Was it at home? At Bilbert Street, I nearly called it then. what's it called? The Walker Stadium still? Not the King Power now, are you? Fucking hell.
King Power.
So they've been a bit up and down, haven't they, as well? But I do think they've got the potential to finish top six and maybe push top four along with us. Very, very similar.
Kim?
It's not that I've not been listening to you, Luke, but all I've had, when you started this trail of thought, you said about they've got the opportunity, similar to Wolves, to ruffle feathers. And I've been just wanting to say, so we're saying foxes and wolves can ruffle feathers. And I need to just interject with that, because I've apparently got no filter. Kim, do you have any sort of thoughts on Leicester, whether they can ruffle feathers or not?
Well, I kind of agree, but I feel like we're probably better defensively.
Yes.
Maybe a bold statement, but I don't think Leicester have looked... I think last season they looked quite good defensively, but I think this season they definitely look like they could concede compared to us. Now, I think in Vardy, they're always likely to grab a goal. I suppose in the same way that we are with Raul, but I feel like we can get something at Leicester, and I feel like we'll be back in our comfort zone almost. And I think, yes, we played really well today, but I think we've got to remember that it's probably not going to be the same against Leicester, and we'll probably be happy to nick a 1-0 win. Play on the break again, I would imagine. But I think if we stick with the same team as today, stick with the win-backs, then I'm pretty confident that we can probably come away with a win.
Okay, well, I completely agree with probably sticking with the same starting 11 as we've done against Crystal Palace. Is everyone sort of else in agreement very much? You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, and hopefully kind of play with the same swagger as we did against Palace?
Yeah, there's no reason to change that now. I mean, Kim's right, we probably will go back into our comfort zone of defensiveness. But we've got more fluidity on the break now as well, like we saw tonight. It's back to our best. So, yeah, it'd be mad. Unless there's injuries, obviously, it'd be absolute madness to change that team.
I agree.
I think it'll be a really tough game the weekend, because it will be a chess match. They're going to match up exactly like us, 3 centre-backs, 2 wing-backs, James Justin and Timothy Castagne. I think he's been one of the standouts so far this season. Castagne for Leicester. Yeah, 3 midfielders that you've already mentioned, Tielemans, Maddison, Dennis Prayer, they're all decent midfielders. It's just, I think it will all come down to who has the better game on the day, Vardy or Raul.
Good show.
Should we do some score predictions? So if we start with Luke.
Right. Let's be optimistic. 2-1 Wolves.
Okay. Stu?
Yeah, we're in a happy place tonight. We said 2-0. 2-0 Wolves.
Kim?
I'll go 1-0 Wolves.
And Dan?
Well, I've just said that we're going to finish 9 points in front of them, so we get a 3 points advantage on them this weekend, and we're going to win 3-1.
Go on, the Wolves. Where's this positivity for me come from, lads?
I was going to say, this is a weird turn of events. I feel like I'm going to bring things back down to earth.
Nelson Semedo is going to score the weekend. I can feel it.
He's the most fickle bastard I've ever met in my life.
You lot, just so gassed, beating Palace 2-0 with that midfield, that you think we're going to finish top four? You're damn right we are.
I feel quite bad now, because I'm just going to say it's going to be a 0-0 draw. I think that
That's such a Tory thing to do, that is. That is the most Tory shout I've ever heard on a podcast in all my life. I bet you love watching children starve to death in the slums of Lowell as you live in your mansion in Codsall. Mousy.
I live in Chifnall. Oh, that bit's going to need an edit.
No, it's not.
Well,
oh yeah, no. I was gonna say, just to confirm, never have, never will vote for them. but yeah, no, I just think we're gonna match. I however much I say that I think Wolves are a better team on paper, I think that kind of what Dan alluded to in terms of we are similar, we do match up on paper and formation wise probably, and it's gonna be a bit of a test of, you know, who can just about edge it out from, you know, between each other. I kind of don't see it being, you know, better than a draw, unfortunately, but fingers crossed. We will finish off today's pod by running through Twitter Corner. So thank you to everyone who sent in your questions. We've had quite a few this week, actually, which is super fun. So we will start with, as I said, sort of, Are you worried Neves is growing a ponytail? Personally, I don't see him being a ponytail sort of guy. I don't know what you guys think.
I've just pictured him having a Steven Seagal type ponytail and it's just broke my heart. He just needs to get this goal and get his hair cut.
Nothing wrong with Steven Seagal. Steven Seagal's a legend.
Nothing right with him. He killed a puppy.
See, Dan, you need to come on that on another podcast called Cage Fighting to debate these options. I think anyone with that kind of bouffant hair could rock a ponytail quite easily. I'm all in favour of it.
I think you should just go for a mullet. Okay, full on mullet, bring it back.
I reckon if anyone could, it could be Neves. Second one from Dean Marston. How quick after moving on to his new pod did David Evans get kicked out of a WhatsApp group?
He kicked himself
out. I was going to say
banned and barred from the group at the time that he left. I couldn't even say goodbye. I
remember sort of Sarah McLachlan playing in the background in my head anyway. Let's see, what else have we got? How much do you think Silver learned with his 3 minutes tonight?
Let's give
Kim a thought. I guess I'll sort of round it out, but you know, do you think he deserves a little bit more game time, Kim?
I mean, I don't think he really got involved, did he? He had like a few minutes, so
I can't even remember him touching the ball, to be honest.
No, I don't think he did touch the ball. I mean, I hope he does get a few more minutes over the next few games, and I think it's a bit unfair how people are starting to judge him without him literally playing any minutes on the pitch. But to be honest, if we continue to play the way we do, I can't see Nuno changing formation and obviously not dropping Raul. And he doesn't really like to take Raul off, does he? So, yeah, it's one of those, isn't it? He's only going to get 5-10 minutes here and there. So I kind of feel a bit sorry for him, actually.
We could have done with that third goal tonight, so he could have been brought on a lot earlier.
Yeah.
Even if we're 5-0 up, he still wants to brought Raul off to like the 92nd minute. He loves him.
Well, Jota, his son's gone now, so maybe Raul's took manager's son role on.
True. I think if Silva had a permit, it looked like Screech out of South by the Bell.
I think Silva just needs a bit of a run in the under-23s. I think he wasn't really playing for the first team in Porto anyway, so it's not really he's gone from one to the other on the bench. So I think he just needs to run a games where however he gets it, really. I mean, Vettini is playing in the under-23, so it's not like, oh, here's another player that's we've potentially invested money in that's been dropped down. It's a development at the end of the day, so I don't see any problem with it, personally. And then give him 10, 15 minutes here and there when the opportunity arises, but like Dan said, we don't really score three, do we, for him to come on at that point.
The other situation is you can't play him in the under-23s because of fickle Wolves fans like you, like if he doesn't score an hat trick in the under-23s, you'll think he's shit. I mean, you've got to give the kid a chance. He's 35 million. He ain't been brought to like balance account to other football clubs. He's been brought in to impact the squad right now in the future. You need to have a bit of faith.
But this is why it's so annoying that we don't try in the League Cup early rounds. Because if we would have tried against Stoke, he could have had a, I don't know, so even if we would have gone another two rounds further, that could have been another 180 minutes under his belt, which he's not going to get now.
Yeah, but that's what happens when you put Ruddy in goal. So
very true. So John Ruddy is halting this Silva's career. So if Silva doesn't go to the top, we will all look back on John Ruddy and say he cost him World Cup medals, Ballon d'Ors, European Golden Boots, all because John Ruddy is shit.
Yeah. He basically, John Ruddy has turned him into the Portuguese Darren Huckabee.
will that be a Fabio Silva sliding doors moment? But we'll round off the questions from one from Thomas Kearney, who asks us, what was the thought process of the first person who had a go at seeing if an egg was something we thought we could eat? Stu, what do you think? You're a man of many thoughts.
They'd already polished off the chicken, so there's nothing left.
Fair enough. on that note, we'll wrap up today's podcast. Thank you very much for listening to this week's show. We'll be back after the Leicester game to cover that result. We will probably be bringing a Stories from the Pack episode as well, where Hoops chats with a Wolves fan each week to discuss their experiences of following the boys in Old Gold and Black. Make sure you check out all of our socials. So on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and we're now on YouTube as well. So we've got a couple of great series that we're doing at the moment, from Goody's GTA to Dan's FIFA Greet. Have I got that right? Or FIFA Meet?
Don't worry, I keep getting it wrong myself when I'm doing the show.
I haven't made a mistake doing a podcast, so it's completely fine. But yeah, make sure you go check it out, because we're dropping some really good content on there. Big thank you to our sponsors, Pixel Yeti Media. Go to their website, check out some of the great work that they're doing. And on that note, it is goodbye from Stu.
Goodbye. Have fun, everyone.
It's goodbye from Dan.
Goodbye, everyone. And to the pride of South London Fan TV, to their Twitter corner question, sex and travel. That means fuck off.
Oh,
okay.
Can we just say, one absolute twat, Zahari's again. When I thought I could pause myself, but I have to get it out here. I mean, I'll put it on Twitter already. But why does he have to do it every single time? Why can't he just behave? He's still at Palace. He's 27 years old. He went to Man United. He wasn't good enough there. They sent him back. And he's still throwing himself around, and he's being done by kids.
I don't know. I like Zaha. I think he's a good
Probably player. Because he should have had a penalty, and he was getting kicked to shit like every other game, Stu. And there's underlying issues with football fans like you that don't like Wilfred Zaha.
I'd prefer Jack Grealish to Zaha. That's how much I don't like him.
Zaha is a fantastic player. And I would be pissed off if I was getting volleyed all over the pitch every single week. That's why he gets so frustrated, and he gets no protection from the referees.
Yeah, three certainties in life: death, taxes, and Wilfred Zaha getting fouled.
People are going to foul him more because he reacts like that. Just grow up and just take it. Everyone else does.
Not really.
Kim, thank you very much for joining us on this week's show. Once again, fantastic work on raising so much money for the well. We'll make sure that we include a link in the podcast as well. So if any Wolves fans do want to donate, you know where to go. But thanks for joining us, and thanks for giving your opinions on the game.
Really enjoyed it. Thanks, guys.
And it's goodbye from Luke.
See you later. Happy Halloween, everyone.
See you next time, guys.